Freak socks.
Alright, check 1, 2, man. We doing a quick impromptu show, man. Just had my partner over here, Tony Maceo. We just went ahead and had some lunch. We just went ahead, cashed some checks, some lawsuit money, you know what I'm saying? Chilling. And then we came back and ate. And then we started watching some YouTube, and we were just watching Tommy Sotomayor, and he was basically talking about, you know, his typical shit, man. It was a incident that happened, I think it was in Euclid, Ohio, where a female and her thug boyfriend basically killed their daughter, man. You know, some child abuse, blunt force trauma, some malnourishment shit was popping off. And the baby daddy, the biological father, was in court crying and belly aching and, you know, going through, you know, hysterical, what's the word, hysterionics and shit. And then Tommy was basically talking at the end of the video, talking about the courts, y'all need to pay more attention, and the courts need to do this, and the courts need to do that. You know what I mean? Basically, he was basically talking like the courts don't know what the fuck they're doing. But it is my opinion that the courts do indeed know what the fuck they're doing. So I want to ask my boy Tony, man, when it comes to the thugs and the hood rat bitches, man, you know, fucking up the flow with their children, killing the children, abusing the children, you know what I mean, and the court system, man, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, in every war, there are casualties. Right. That's just what it is. Mm-hmm. Now, in economics, the economists have a word for it. It's called externalities.
Right.
Externalities are the unintentional damages and consequences of a particular action. Now, this is something that was intentionally done, but it is an unintentional aspect as far as maybe the non-custodial parent is concerned. He didn't think that by breaking up or leaving this bitch, he was going to get his child was going to be killed.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So from that perspective, it was unintentional, but the system knows very well what it's doing, because what's happening here is that what we've said over and over again, you niggas are the food for the prison industrial complex. And in order to generate more food, it's just like, it's almost like you're raising hogs.
Right.
You need hogs to produce. Yeah. And then once they get, you know, to a certain size, you slaughter them, you turn them into pork chops, bacon, hog maws, neck bones, and all that shit. And you sell it in the supermarket. So that's what this is. This is literally breeding children for the prison industrial complex. And when you understand that, you understand why it is that they leave them on the streets. You understand why it is, because they have a standard called best interest of the child. And you can clearly see with some of these bitches, it is not in the best interest of the child to stay with these broads.
Right.
But the court has this idea where they hold reproductive rights or the ability to birth children as sacrosanct. Mm-hmm. They do not want to sever the cord between the birth mother and the child, no matter how destructive the child is. Because, see, from a holistic standpoint, they know 9 times out of 10 when that child is born, they have statisticians that already put this shit together. They can already tell you what kind of education a child is going to get. They already know they already know the average median income of the home. They already know what kind of education this child is going to get. Mm-hmm. They already know what kind of job this child. They have the government statistics and the government statisticians and economists. They study this stuff years in advance, and it's part of the theory of the discipline of macroeconomics. They can tell you, they can forecast. Economists can forecast right down to the very close to the very dollar, you know, what happens to a person's life. Mm-hmm. So they know that 9 times out of 10 when these kids are born in single parent homes, they know these kids are going to go right to these schools that ain't worth a shit. And then when they go to these schools that ain't worth a shit, why? Because the community don't have an economic infrastructure. Well, when you go to a school that ain't worth a shit 9 times out of 10, them niggas going to end up dropping out. 9 times out of 10, or going and graduating semi-literate. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to be able to get a job worth anything, because, of course, we don't really value education in the black community. Well, we don't value education in terms of being able to acquire property or run business and create an economic infrastructure. That's what I mean when I said we don't really respect our education in the black community. But they know full well that those children are going to go from that fucked up house. They can literally tell you what it looked like. They can tell you there's no mother there. They can tell you it's a grandmother there. Mm-hmm. They can tell you, you know, it's a grimy motherfucker, a lightning-ass nigga somewhere in the periphery. They can tell you that this child, again, will not get a good education. They can tell you this child will be semi-literate. They can tell you this child will not qualify to get into any college worth anything. His test score is going to be low as fuck. So 9 times out of 10, they know he's going to the block. And when he go into the block, when he go on the block, they know he's going to prison. So it's a whole process. You got to keep the breeder. You right. keep the breeder mm-hmm. out here. You let her breed. You let her breed so she can produce these children, so it produces labor right. for private corporations.
Right.
So it produces private labor for Smith Barney. So it produces private labor for MasterCard and all these other companies that have an interest in prisons under nice sounding names.
So it's like in a court situation, if you have a fucked up broad man who's devoid of mother skills, mm-hmm. and then you have a basically, you know, the father who's basically a stand up dude and he does have the means to take care of that child, in the long term, it makes more sense for the government and corporations to keep that man away from that child. And keep the baby with the dysfunctional mother, because in the long term, in the long run, the government and the corporations stand to make a lot of money off that dysfunctional child.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Because if you add it up, let's look at it this way. Mm-hmm. When they go to prison, when you go to prison, a lot of times you don't have any money. Right.
Right.
So when you go to prison, you don't have any money. Well, you got to have clothing.
Right.
The state, or the interest, because prisons are now being built by private corporations.
Exactly, right.
So, and because they're being built by private corporations, the corporations have to supply the uniforms. The corporations have to supply the footwear. Mm-hmm. The footwear. They also have to supply the meals. They also supply the telephone systems. They also supply the commissaries. I mean, they got that thing chopped up. Now, before the wholesale transitions, corporations would bid on these contracts. In other words, let's say Lebanon. Mm-hmm. Lebanon Correctional Institute would bid out who's going to supply its telephone services. So they would build it out to Securus Technologies, mm-hmm. or they would build it out to Globaltel Inc. Mm-hmm. And so those two corporations would then bid on who's going to supply the for-pay system for the inmates to the jail.
Yeah,
okay?
Right.
Those contracts are worth tens of millions of dollars. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But now as corporations take over prisons, what is happening is that they're supplying everything lock, stock, and barrel, and what they're doing, they're saying, fuck it, we're going to charge it to the game. Meaning the state. Mm-hmm. So what happens is as they build the prisons, and they're supplying the clothing, they're supplying the phone systems, they're supplying the footwear, they're supplying the commissary, they're supplying everything, and what they're doing is they're charging it to the defendants, excuse me, the convicts, not defendants, because mm-hmm. after they've been convicted, they are now inmates and convicts.
Right.
So what they're doing is they're charging the cost to the gang. So what they're saying is that either you have to stay there and work in their shops until you work off that debt, which will never be worked off, mm-hmm. or if you cannot work that debt off, because you know you have to pay restitutions.
Yeah.
When you are convicted of any crime, you have to pay restitutions. Well, if you can't pay those restitutions, in many states, they are charging the inability to pay those restitutions as a felony, depending on the amount. Anytime you're dealing with money, the amount dictates whether you're going to be charged with a felony or whether you're going to be charged with a misdemeanor. So basically, if you can't pay those goddamn fees that you've racked up during the period that you've been incarcerated, that means you have to work for them longer. And you have to. That means your sentence goes, because in a lot of instances, they won't let you out of jail, or they won't let you off of. You will not be released from the state's jurisdiction until you have satisfied that debt. You are still a ward of the state. You are still state property until you can completely satisfy that debt. So in order to make that work, they need bodies in those cells. And in order to have bodies in those cells, they have to have the type of climate that is conducive for creating an endless flow of people coming into those cells. Now, people call this the school, the prison pipeline. But in reality, it starts before school. Mm-hmm. It starts way before school.
Right.
It starts at the time of conception, if not before.
Right.
Because capitalism works. People always talk about capitalism, but they don't understand how capitalism functions. Capitalism says that you must have an underclass.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have an underclass. It is this relatively new form of capitalism in America where they created a buffer middle class. That's relatively new. In all other capitalist societies, there was usually people that were extremely wealthy or people that were extremely poor. It is the American revision or the American innovation in capitalism that created a middle class. Mm-hmm. But what's happening is, of course, as you well know, that middle class is shrinking. Okay, so they constantly need people to come in there for that labor force. They constantly need cheap labor. This is why I didn't agree with Dr. Umar when he was talking about they have no more use for black labor. You're stupid as fuck. They always going to have use for black labor.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going to put it in the prison systems.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't want to compete with the Mexicans for jobs, I got a better deal for you, nigga. How about you go to prison and work for 13 cents an hour?
Mm.
So you need to create a culture and a climate in order to keep these bodies coming in. And in order to keep the bodies coming in, you keep the host on the streets breeding.
Mm-hmm.
The host must stay on the streets breeding to supply the bodies for the prison.
And you do not give the child to a man who basically has some sense and is responsible.
No, because that's not profitable.
Yeah, that's not profitable.
It's not profitable in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you slow down the workforce by giving deterrence to that culture, if you provide them an alternative to escape that prison, that school-to-prison pipeline, that messes with their long-term profitability. Because, again, you could do all these things through economic forecasts. You can actually forecast based upon population, based upon the demographics of the population, based on where these people are located, how many children they're going to produce, how many children are going to wind up coming to that prison. They can tell you the background, the demographics, where these kids come from, the whole nine. They can tell you the culture, the music they listen to, the television shows they watch. They can tell you everything about their culture and lifestyle. So, no, they don't want a child going to. They don't want two-parent households. They want dysfunction. You know, they want single families. They want a fractured family unit because it works. It is more conducive for a better bottom line.
That's why you have the thug culture that's being championed. And, you know, you have niggas excusing that thug bullshit, man. Look, let me tell y'all something, man, because a lot of niggas still think, like, oh, you niggas, y'all bitter about the thug. Look, suck my dick, nigga. This the deal. I worked in a fucking prison for 10 fucking years. I worked with Children's Services of Foster Care for 8 fucking years, man. And the formula for dysfunction and fuckery and just total destruction of the black community is ratchet bitches and thug niggas, man. Ratchet bitches, thug niggas. Take it from a nigga right here. And you know, and I ain't no angel, right? I'm the nigga out there that was putting bitches to work on the strip. You feel me? Shit. So yeah, I mean, I know y'all saying, hey, ain't that the pot calling the kettle black? But yeah, I'm honest enough to know and to basically expound upon the fact that, look, y'all don't understand. They have think tanks, man, way above in the higher echelons of corporations and governments that actually put together organizational skills to make this shit come to fruition, man. They think about these sort of things, man, that basically figure out how to keep money flowing in and how to basically foster in a new sort of slavery. You know what I mean? And it all rests upon the new culture of ratchet bitches and thug niggas, man. If we can keep the children steadily, you know, following behind this bullshit culture, man, of ratchet bitches and thug niggas, we always gonna have the prisons full, and we always gonna be able to make money off these niggas, man. You know what I mean? It just kills me how these niggas can't put two and two together. They can't connect the dots on this shit, man. Like I said, 10 years working in the prisons, 8 years foster care, children's services. Man, I done seen it all. And whenever you had a child being destroyed or had a child being fucked up or had a child in a bad situation or circumstance, it was always behind some thug niggas, ratchet bitch, or the combination of both. You know what I mean? So please stop with that bullshit. Talking about somebody jealous of a thug. I told y'all a million times, the thug nigga is always tasting my residual ball residue.
None of you niggas are safe.
None of you niggas are safe. You know, we need the thug niggas out there. Me and Tony done told y'all, we need the thug niggas out there to actually make our game top flight. Because if the nigga ain't out there destroying shit and fucking shit up, I mean, there's no reason for your bitch to come to us. Because they need someone to fix the bullshit that the thug nigga done fucked up. So we need these bullshit ass niggas out there fucking up the game. Shit, so we can goddamn put some crazy glue on it and fix it. I'm grateful for these motherfucking ratchet bitches and these thug niggas. Without them, my game would not be as tight as it is. But anyway, Tony, you got some more to say about that?
Absolutely. The thing is that, and this isn't new. This isn't necessarily a black thing. In America, it's a black thing, but in 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th century Europe, certain parts of the British Isles, certain parts of Wales, and certain parts of Ireland, and Scotland, this same phenomenon took place where you had a marginalized, poor, backward culture on the fringes of society where the men were basically thugs and they were called the ultimate male because they valued aggression
right.
over intelligence. Mm-hmm. The women were basically hood rats, you know, explicitly.
Right.
The original hood rats and the original thug niggas actually come from Europe. So this formula is not anything new. It's just being played out here, and it is more effective here because, one, you got a weak constituency, a weak racial group that is not politically empowered, that has no economic infrastructure, and they have no vast form of social acceptance. They're socially rejected, they're economically marginalized, and they're politically marginalized in society. Mm-hmm. So they are you're the food, you're the weak link. And when you're the weak link, people fuck over you. So again, this is not anything new. This has happened in societies ever since there's been a such thing as poverty. Matter of fact, Thomas Sowell's book, Black Rednecks, White Liberals, he talks about the origin of this type of hood rat culture. And it's in Thomas Sowell is an economist, mm-hmm. and I have some issues with his work as well, but he highlights brilliantly that this thug culture is a culture that niggas picked up in the South from white rednecks. It was just transposed over the black community, and it was given a black face as a result of some of the fallout from the civil rights movement. And there are, again, issues with that, but I won't go into that. But here's the problem. Here's the issue. Here's what I'm saying. Is that in order for you to pull this off, in order for them to pull this off, you need a weak and destabilized community. Because again, if I can make sure that you never get out of prison, again, I can charge you debt. And if you do not, and I'm talking about debt with respect to your incarceration,
mm-hmm.
I can assess your debt as a result of you being incarcerated. If you cannot satisfy that debt, then why would I let you go? See, the concept is to constantly keep you working in a debt that you can never pay.
Right.
But if I keep you in, somebody got to be out there to get them pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody got to be out there to keep supplying the seed to the host so that she could keep producing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you keep producing, then they can follow you. Because you got to keep in mind now, they're getting you from the cradle to the grave. They're getting you with tennis shoes and all this stuff of wasteful consumption.
Right.
Then on top of it, they're getting you through, you know, all of the types of shit. They're getting you through
entertainment.
Shit. They're getting
trap music.
They're getting you through consumption. They're mm-hmm. It's a culture based around consumption. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that you're producing the goods, but you're not producing goods that will lead to any type of manufacturing or any type of business or industry for your neighborhood and for your communities. You're producing for the small elite at the top. You're producing mm-hmm. good, cheap goods sold at exorbitant costs with massive amounts of cheap labor. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So you need to keep this process going. So they encourage a culture of irresponsibility. The liberals are always there to excuse everything. They don't blame anybody for shit ever. Right. And they need a community where the women are the matriarchs. They need a community. They're not going to give children to a man. It's just not going to work. They're not going to give children to a man because there's the possibility that the men may actually play a role in them avoiding the prison to pipeline system altogether. Mm-hmm. So they got to keep the host in charge. The host must run the show because the host is the one that is going to feed the machine. Mm-hmm. So these things, like they have in each state, they have what's called the best interest of the child. Okay. Mm-hmm. The best interest of the child is a 12 standard, It's a 12 principle law or basis or legal basis. Mm-hmm. 12 principles that lays out how you determine if a custodial parent or being with a custodial parent is in the best interest of the child. Now, if they had in fact followed that standard, half of these bitches wouldn't even have their kids. If they followed the 12 principles under the best interest of the child standard, most of these bitches would get their kids taken like that.
Okay.
And the courts know that because, again, each time when these women come in for cases, like, for instance, when a woman takes a man to court for child support, what they don't tell people is that they also do a background check on the woman as well as the man.
Okay.
So they're well aware of the woman's financial status. They're well aware of her criminal history. And a lot of these bitches have extensive criminal histories.
Yeah.
A lot of them have extensive criminal histories. So then they'll turn around and say, well, okay, why are you allowing this child to stay in this home where clearly this woman is having a problem paying the bills? Why would you have this child stay in this home where clearly there's some criminal activity going? And a lot of them bitches so bold, they come in the court smelling like marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
They just that bold. They will come in the court smelling like marijuana. And you can clearly see that this person is irresponsible. Then they shoot back and say, well, we don't want to take kids away from their mothers just because they're poor. Mm-hmm. And it's not just because they're poor. A lot of them are irresponsible. And if they followed all of those principles that are under that best interest of the child standard, that child is supposed to be with that father if he's working anyway, you see.
Right.
So the name of the game is if they keep that child there, they'll say, well, they don't want to separate the mother from the child. Well, you're going to separate from when they send his ass to prison.
Exactly.
You go down there to Montgomery County right now. You go down there to 2nd Street. You go down to 380 West 2nd Street, and you can see juvenile, all the goddamn windows of juvenile detention are filled.
Mm-hmm.
They separated from their mom.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And they're already in the system graduating to felony offenses, graduating to prison term. As a matter of fact, they call in prison college now. This is how stupid niggas are. You think they're talking about Wright State University. You think they're talking about Spelman or Morehouse. No, they're talking about prison. They're using college terms to describe incarceration. That's how much that culture is being ingrained in the mentality of the people in the black community. So if you don't want to separate them, you know, voluntarily by being with a man that can provide when they're young, the state is going to separate them from the mother anyway. Because in the eyes of the state, those children are their property, even before they get to prison.
Yeah, but bottom line, it is much more lucrative to have the child stay with the baby mama.
Yes, long term.
Long term than with the responsible male who may be trying to get the child out of a messed up situation with his mama, you know. A
messed up custodial environment.
Yeah.
Because again, you gotta think, they're making their money off consumption. It's the shoe. Nike is making its money off the tennis shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then all the other companies are making their money off of, you know, conspicuous consumption, which is really wasteful consumption, buying shit they don't need. We see that all the time.
Hell yeah.
You know, and then they come here talking about their kids need suits for Easter. Mm-hmm. Their kid needs Easter clothes. Their kid needs money for fireworks, you know, for the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
They can't afford to get their children's gifts out of layaway for Christmas. They always come for holiday money. They all you that's when we usually see bitches is for holidays.
Right.
So the thing is, you got them from the moment they're born on up to the time they die. And they make their longest green when they're in prison. Mm-hmm. Because, again, you can hit them for everything. You hit them. And for every dollar that they put on the books, for every dollar that they put on their books for commissary, the corporations or the state, it is the corporations. The corporations take 30 cents of every dollar that they put on the books. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, if you go down to Montgomery County Jail right now and put $20 on somebody's books, it only counts for 17. Mm-hmm. They're only going to get 17 of that 20. So not only are they charging you to give somebody money, they're also charging them for, understandably so, the commissary, and the cheap little shit they buy, the Nestle Crunches and the cereal boxes. Right. They're charging them exorbitant prices for that. All of that to eat up that commissary money, mm-hmm. you see. And then on top of it, it's the lodging, them staying in that prison, providing the footwear, the clothing. You know, and then they got them working for 12 or 13 cents an hour. But all the time while they're incarcerated, they're building up debt. They're building up debt. Mm-hmm. So it's profitable if they keep them working for 13 cents an hour. It's profitable if they can keep them working for 13 cents an hour, but then sell the goods for $130 on the open market. So you damn right I want to keep that going. You damn right I want that to happen. Because long term, I'm going to make a killing.
And once again, it's incumbent upon these silly ass niggas basically thinking that ratchet and thug culture is the way to go.
Yes.
You know, you must convince these niggas that being a thug and a ratchet bitch is the best way to go in order to basically foster and to produce or to build your society.
Yeah.
And niggas is falling for that shit.
Falling for that shit. They need you to believe in the outlaw ethic, because if you believe in the outlaw ethic, then what you will do, you will rationalize your own oppression. Mm-hmm. You will rationalize your own exploitation. Right. If they can get you to see or get you to buy into the fact of the outlaw culture, they can get you to buy into the fact of being an outlaw or being an outsider on society, they can get you to buy into or get you into a situation that once you see or discover that all of that's bullshit, you look up one day, you 65.
Yeah.
And, you know, you face with another stupid-ass nigga coming through the door thinking exactly how you thought at 35.
Yeah.
Or at 25, you see. Mm-hmm. It's a self-perpetuating thing going on. It's a perpetual system. The shit goes on into perpetuity, because what happens here is it's like an assembly line. It's like a conveyor belt. As the old motherfucker getting ready to die, and he getting ready to leave prison anyway, they can't get nothing out of him. They need somebody else coming in. But in order for them to come in, they have to rationalize. You have to be able, they have to sell you the rationalization that what you're doing is okay. Mm. They have to sell you that what you're doing is worth it, because if you don't do it, bitches won't thank you a man if you don't do it. You know, if you don't bust a cap off in the roof, or you don't pop a cap in a nigga's ass, or if you don't go over here and do whatever this, you know, shit you're doing, she won't think you're a real man, and she won't give you no pussy. You see what I'm saying? And he don't understand that's his downfall, not the pussy, but the fact that he's irresponsible, and he ain't prepared to be a parent. He ain't prepared to be a father.
And he thinks like a female because he's emotional.
Yep,
you want to fight all the time.
Exactly.
He can't rational. I think they did studies on that shit, man. Like, the lower nigga IQ is, the more apt he is to pop off with some violence. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. So,
there it is, man.
Absolutely.
I just want motherfuckers to understand, man, that this shit is by design. This shit is not accidental, man. The way they set this shit up is on purpose, man. I mean, y'all got to snap out of this shit, man.
I mean, let's say it is. It's just by happenstance that all this shit usually comes from single-parent homes.
No doubt.
It's just by happenstance that it seems to happen to one group of people at one income level. It's just by happenstance that those people get, in those communities, they have the worst schools. Mm-hmm. It's just by happenstance that in these communities are police stations, prisons, and churches. All of that shit is just by happenstance. Mm-hmm. All that shit is just coincidence. Mm-hmm. It's just one of these things where the stars line up and, oh, there's nothing to see here. It's just a motherfucking coincidence, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's what they have to do. It's what they have to do. Again, they have statisticians, economists that can project this. This is a science. It's called economic forecasting. Mm-hmm. You can look at households and you can literally tell what these people, the types of jobs that these people are going to perform. Now, of course, there in some instances there may be exceptions, but they're very few. By and large, they can tell you what people at this income level will eat, drink, watch, wear, and do. Mm-hmm. You see, so it's not by coincidence, it's not by happenstance. This shit is supposed to happen because this is the dark side of capitalism. This is the dark side of the so-called free market economy. It's just a part of the game. And the beautiful part is they get to charge it off to the game. Because, again, you have to work to cancel that debt. So they constantly need to keep people coming in so they can keep ringing up that debt-based economy.
No, it's funny to me, man, as I sit down and I recount all the debates and arguments I done had with these super niggas, man. And I know plenty of super niggas, man, that's been going through court, you know, trying to get their kids, you know, they got to do the whole child support thing and everything, man, you know. And then I tell these niggas, you know, hey, man, every now and then I trick on a bitch, man, you know, just to get my rocks off, and I don't go through that shit you're going through, you know, but they still want to cast aspersions and shit. But I'm like, wait a minute, nigga, you know, you trying to talk shit about me, but, nigga, you in and out of court with this bitch, you know what I mean, she all in your pockets. I mean, nigga, you coming out, I don't know, maybe $1,000 a month or something. Maybe, shit. Man, I don't forgot how much money these niggas be shelling out over these ratchet-ass bitches. And I'm like, nigga, and I got 75 for a bitch, so I don't understand how you gonna fix your mouth to talk about me, you know what I mean? Talk about how fucked up I am and how much of a loser I am, but you paying $1,000 a month to the pimp, which is the government, because they dangled a hoe, which is your baby mama, in front of your face. You paying this bitch and the court $1,000 a goddamn month, and I hit a bitch with 75? And you got the nerve to talk about, you know, how much of a loser I am, nigga? I'm sorry, my nigga. I'm sorry, my nigga. I'm winning. I'm winning. Not to mention the fact I got my plenty of fish bitches, which I like to call my indirect pay hoes. You know what I mean? Because I don't pay them a dime directly. But they suck me off, and they get daddy off. But once again, I'm just saying, you niggas out there, you super niggas, man, out there talking shit about a nigga who tricked directly with a bitch, break him off a C-note, and then your ass in court all the goddamn time shelling out stacks for these ratchet-ass bitches, man.
Or constantly sweating, or constantly looking over your fucking shoulder every time you behind the wheel of an automobile, because you know you got a warrant for unpaid child support, and your license is suspended, and you paranoid about going to jail and not being able to get out. Why? Because you can't bond out on child support violations. You live in your life in the crosshairs of the police. You're afraid that every time you cross one, they're going to ask for your ID, run your name, and see that you got a warrant and take your ass in. You're constantly running from the law. You're constantly in the crosshairs of the criminal justice system. But yet, you some nigga on O'Shea's timeline called me the king of the beta males.
Damn, yeah, I like the way that's. God damn, nigga. Oh, shit,
yeah. He called me the king of the beta males because he said I was rationalizing tricking.
Right.
So he called me the king of the beta males. So from there, it's like, well, and then one nigga said, well, I'm going to end up broke. And with STDs. And every time, each time I was tricked, I have never caught an STD because I don't have unprotected sex.
Right.
You stupid ass nigga with a bitch that I'm tricking with. Mm. And again, what part of 75 don't you understand? I got 75. What part of that don't you get? Mm. I got 75. It's similar, and I'm going to explain this one last time.
All right.
And I hope y'all get it. What we're doing is similar to what the American welfare system does.
Mm.
Here's how it works.
Okay.
If you want Section 8, if you want cash assistance, if you want food stamps, you have to do what they say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you can't own a car above a certain year, If you have a bank account, they're going to adjust your benefits because they figure if you got money to save, you don't need them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, additionally, if you get a job, that cuts against you. It's all about keeping you dependent. So if you got a bank account, you got a car, you do anything that's related to upward mobility, they cut back whatever funds or whatever benefits that they're giving you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So now you're in a position where you're totally dependent and the money that they're giving you is not enough money to run a household on. So you always have to come back to them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not giving you enough to be independent, and they're not giving you too much to where they go broke.
Right.
They're giving you just enough to keep you coming back. Mm. Okay? So then once they keep you coming back, now they thoroughly control you. You remember what happened in 2014 and 15 when they stopped the
EBT?
EBT, yeah. Mm-hmm. When them damn food stamps, everybody get their food stamps on time. Them bitches lost their mind.
Mm-hmm.
When that assistance, that is real power. The government is not extending out a whole lot of money on entitlement programs or this area of entitlement mm-hmm. programs. So what you're doing here is, and here's how these hood rats think. If they can get a check for a baby, if mm-hmm. they get $532 for a child or $632 for a child. In their stupid ass mind, if they have another child, that's another $632.
Mm-hmm.
So if they have another child, that's another $632. They have an income, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they can get on SSI, that's the new hustle too, the crazy checks.
Mm-hmm.
They get on SSI, that's another hustle. But what they don't understand is that each child multiplies, it doubles, triples, and quadruples your living expenses.
Mm-hmm.
So the money that they're getting from having the children simply doubles their expenses for having them.
Right.
They cut their nose off despite their face, you see,
mm-hmm.
and they sink further and further into dependency. So for every time you get a child, that's more that creates the strong a more stronger relationship between you and the government. Now they know they got you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're hooked on those $532 or $632 checks, so you keep having children. Well, now you need food stamps. Now you can't afford rent, so now you got to have Section 8 housing. So now you got to have cash assistance. Now you got to have Medicare or Medicaid. You see,
mm-hmm.
tightening the screws to your ass. With every child, you think that you're getting an additional check. No, you're getting deeper and deeper in their debt.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and once you're deeper and deeper in their debt, everything else takes over. The consumption takes over, the bad schooling, the bad education. Mm-hmm. Before you know it, Buttercup is in Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
shit. Once again, basically going back to what the question that O'Shea had asked you, is there any power in tricking?
Yes.
And the best thing for you to look to show that, yes, there is indeed power in tricking mm-hmm. is the welfare system.
Yes.
Because if you're going to get by on the government's dole, one of the agreements that you have to abide by is you can't have no man.
Yes.
Government says, I'm your dad.
You absolutely.
I'm the pimp. You know what I'm saying? You do what the fuck I say.
If I
catch you with a nigga, you know, it's curtains.
Yes.
No benefits. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, there is indeed power in tricking because the government say so.
That was an old school movie that came out during it. You remember Claudine with Diane Carroll and James Earl Jones? Mm.
Nah, I don't remember.
There was an old school. If you niggas doubt what we saying, there's an old school movie starring Diane Carroll and James Earl Jones called Claudine.
Mm-hmm.
She had all these damn kids. And then what would happen is this welfare worker would come into her house to see if she had, she was coming there to investigate evidence of a male presence. But every time this woman came to her house, if she found an iron, she would say, fraud!
Mm-hmm.
Or she would come in, if she came in and if she saw anything that looked like it was a new purchase, any item that looked like it was just purchased, she would say, fraud, 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 and threaten to throw her ass off of welfare.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? What they were in essence telling you is the kind of control that the government has over your life when you accept their dollar, when you accept their kindness. It is a cost for their kindness. When they come in and fuck with us, there's a cost to fuck with us.
Mm-hmm.
You fuck with us on our terms, not on terms that are convenient to you. Mm-hmm. You fuck with us on terms that are convenient to us. The biggest game, and if you want to go back, if you doubt what I'm saying, go back to a Max City article. Go back to a Max City article that compared what he was doing to the welfare system. Mm. Goods and services.
Right.
Providing gas. Gas. Goods and services. And all the time, it doesn't have to be money.
Mm-hmm.
The government proves they give them food stamps. You can't spend. You can sell them motherfuckers and convert them to cash, but you take a loss when you do it. So you can't even counterfeit food stamps. You can't even launder food stamps without losing money. You see,
right.
Goods and services, the offering of goods and services, it don't have to be money. A lot of times it could be a ride.
Mm-hmm.
You can't imagine how these hoes hate getting on the bus.
Right.
You can't imagine how much a cell phone does for their raggedy ass self-esteem. You can't imagine that. But the government got in on our act because they provided something called Obama phones.
Mm. You sure did. That was one of my main hustles. I used to love when I broke them off a new phone.
But... Yeah. Mm-hmm. The government is the author of goods and services. Mm. So what we're doing, we're only repeating what we see the government doing, mm-hmm. and it works like gangbusters, mm-hmm. because just the smallest shit. Again, the economics of a hood rat survival package. What's the economics of a hood rat survival package? $40
mm-hmm.
in cash.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's take 75 and break it down.
Okay.
$40 of that is going to be for them to go out.
Mm-hmm.
$35 is going to be for them to get some weed.
Mm-hmm.
That's about the price of half a booty, a $50 bag of weed.
All right.
Okay. And then on top of it, once they have the $40 that they spend to go out on whatever trivial shit they spend their money on, and then the $35 for the weed, they straight. Because with that $35, that's enough for them to go to Popeye's Chicken. That's enough for them to go to the grocery store and get, you know, a vast assortment. And them bitches can still go to the club and kick it because some alpha male nigga gonna be in there tricking and buying them drinks.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Okay.
So they got you coming in. They got you going and coming. See, whereas you are tricking on the front end, mm-hmm. or you're tricking on the back end, and we're tricking on the front end,
mm-hmm.
you're paying more than 75, because 9 times out of 10, you sit here trying to impress this bitch with your money. You sit here trying to impress this bitch with your statue.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows what this game is. Everybody knows how this game works. But I broke her off 75 and got some head or got some ass and sent her out the door for you to splurge on her with drinks. Mm-hmm. To try to fuck her. I just told her up front what I had, and this is what I'm doing. But you, on the other hand, were trying to impress her. Because alpha niggas do that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Contrary to popular opinion, alpha niggas try to seduce bitches with money, too.
Right.
It's not just the so-called beta males.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of me coming out ahead is all the more highlighted or all the more important because I'm getting the most amount of product for the least amount of money for the least amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Let me say this, man. I'm going to say it like 3 or 4 times, man, so I can drive it home for you cats, man. Listen to what I'm telling you. Y'all ready? Check this out. A free bitch is the most expensive bitch.
Yes.
A free bitch is the most expensive bitch. A free bitch is the most expensive bitch. Any OG boss player pimp Mac will tell you that shit, man. Whenever you in a so-called relationship with a free bitch, it's going to cost you 10 times of what it would cost to fuck with a prostitute, man. Okay? Get that through your fucking head, man. Get that through your fucking head. Once again, a free bitch is the most expensive bitch, man. All right? Now check this out, man. What me and Tony doing, man, we mitigating our damages and getting into this trick shit, man. We basically remove ourselves from the matrix. We remove ourselves from the traps that's set for the rest of you niggas, man. I know it's hard for y'all to comprehend it. I know it's hard for y'all to digest, but that's what it is. You know, we are entering into a so-called business-like arrangement where we remove ourselves from the pitfalls and the traps that most niggas
find themselves into in the court system with these bitches, man. You know what I mean? I hear niggas saying shit like, oh, man, well, that's illegal. And, you know, if you get caught, you know what I mean? I'm like, well, yeah, that is a situation that you may have to deal with if you want some stupid shit. But, man, when you really weigh the scales of it, I mean, nigga, that's still much cheaper than going to court for child support, motherfucker.
But let's talk about that.
Okay.
Realistically.
Uh-huh.
I said this on O'Shea's show.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the bitches you tricking with, they're not bitches from the street. They're women you already know.
Right.
That it's not like you went out there and you found a bitch walking the strip and you said, come here, I'm going to give you this.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is these are women that are already around. They're already in your circle. They're already running game on you. They're already getting something about you.
Mm-hmm.
So you already have some type of rapport with these women. It's not like you're just finding these women cold or you're just finding these women naked and proposing to them. So it ain't like I'm out there and going to take a chance on getting busted by an undercover vice cop proposing as a hoe.
Right.
You right. See, we're already tricking. Okay, if you don't want to listen to me, listen to Donovan Sharp.
I said all that to say this, guys. And listen, I'm not the political guy, right? I had someone reach out to me who happens to be a very good political resource. I may get into a little bit of politics, maybe do a couple of Sharp shorts on that, but I'm not the political guy, right? But Stormy Daniels trying to pay back this $130,000 so that she can be released from her non-disclosure so that she can profit on it. This goes to show that all sex is transactional for women. I will say this again. Stormy Daniels is proving that no matter what, all sex is absolutely 100% transactional for women. Listen, guys, sex is the number one thing. It's the number one tool that women use to manipulate men. It doesn't necessarily have to be sexual intercourse, right? It could be sexual allure. It could be the false promise of sex or the false promise of a sexual relationship. They use that, of course, to put guys in the friend zone to get all the benefits of a relationship without being in one. The list is endless. You guys know how this works. Girls use their sexuality for everything, from free drinks at the club, to promotions at work, to promoting or avoiding responsibility in any and all situations. But the time they use it the most, the time they use it the most effectively is with their men or a man of power. Guys, listen, sex is absolutely transitional for women. Don't get me wrong. They also fuck for pleasure, right? Women like sex too. And there are times in the month, there are times during a woman's cycle, during the times of the month when she's ovulating, she actually likes sex more than the guy. But there's always another purpose for women opening their legs for you or any other man. Even if, like I said, even if they're a peak ovulation and they cannot wait to get home and let you pound the life out of her, she still knows in the back of her mind what her end game is. I've said this before, used this analogy before. It's like walking onto a car lot with $20,000 in your pocket, knowing exactly what car you want and that you are going to buy it. You're still going to negotiate, right? I can afford this car, but I still want to negotiate. I want to get the best price. Now, we as men, we fuck to fuck. We fuck for pleasure. We fuck because we want to fuck. We see a hot girl, we want to fuck her. It feels great. The sex is great. Women never fuck only for pleasure. I'm going to say that again. Women never fuck only for pleasure. Even when they're doing it for the right reasons, right? Listen, your girl may love having sex with you. She might love it more than anything else in the world because she's pleasing you. But that doesn't mean that that's the only reason she lets you fuck her on the regular. In her mind, she knows that if she lets you fuck her on a regular basis, you are much more likely to stick around. Yes. That is transactional, guys. That is transactional. In their minds, they think, I let him fuck me, he stays with me. Sequence, consequence, cost, benefit. This is a transaction. That's how this is.
If you're so inclined to believe that you're going to get some shit for free, you know, it's clear that women have an intention when they sleep with you. Now, could you be able to seduce women? Of course, you're probably able to seduce women. But if you fuck that woman more than once, 9 times out of 10, the longer and the more you have sex with her, the more debt you're going to build up, and she's going to call that shit in. Mm-hmm. At some point, she's going to call that debt in. See, what you're doing is, and this is what you niggas don't recognize, the more you fuck that woman and don't pay her, everything is switching because now you're beholden to her. Mm-hmm. So you got a choice to either stop fucking her or pay that debt. So now what's happening is the trick is being power tricked by the hoe. Take, for instance, this shit with Stormy Daniels and Trump.
Right.
Okay? Trump said, look, bitch, I got 130. Mm-hmm. Keep your mouth shut. Let's do this. If you open your mouth, you're going to have to pay this $1 million. Mm-hmm. Okay? But this is what I'm going to give you. This is what I'm going to give you. So now, do you think she honored that $130,000 and kept her mouth shut?
No.
No. That bitch trying to crack him for millions in book deals, exclusives, you know, tell-all interviews. She's trying to figure out a way to get paid.
Right.
So if you want to say that he's the president of the United States. It don't get no more alpha than the president of the United States.
Shit. And still, you know, got pussy all in the mix trying to still be in his pockets.
Yeah.
And he doing it on some business shit. So even on the trick side, man, you know, ain't none of that shit foolproof.
Nope.
You know what I mean? But you still are more so to mitigate your damages by taking the business route. It just so happens that he's the president of the United States. You know, he's a big target.
Yes.
So, you know, the rules don't necessarily apply to him because, you know, we small fries.
Yeah. Mm. See, they don't have any fame or repute, you know, to get by fucking around with us. They stand only to gain in terms of being able to survive. Mm. Because if we don't come along, the bitches gonna crash and burn. They go into skid row.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Mm. So with him, his money's longer. And his fame and his power is stronger than ours. Mm-hmm. So that puts him sort of at a disadvantage.
Right.
But the thing is that you guys have to understand that while they may like fucking you or they may enjoy fucking you, don't think that you're exempt from being a price tag. Mm. Don't think that you're exempt from being a dollar sign. Because that's what you are. You can tell yourself whatever you want to tell yourself. At the end of the day, if that bitch fuck you more than once, she gonna figure out how to cash in some of that debt that she's accumulated from some of that head or from some of that pussy. So if you don't want to join us, I understand if you don't want to be a so-called beta male. I understand if you don't want to be a so-called trick, but see, you tricking and you're a trick whether you want to be a trick or not. The truth is, we recognize the system for what it is. We recognize it and we're honest about it. Mm-hmm. We call that shit for what it is. Nothing is for free. Anything that's for free is too expensive. Mm-hmm. Anything that's for free is too expensive. My father told me, and I repeat it, he said, any woman that you get for free is expensive and you probably can't afford her. So, I mean, I don't know how to explain it more than that. We've told y'all niggas this since 2010, going on 10 years. Nobody gets out of paying. Everything costs. And you either pay now or you pay later. Mm-hmm. Or you may be like some other niggas, you know. Her nigga coming over here to suck this trick's dick or lick on this trick's balls and coming back home and kissing you in the mouth.
Mm-hmm. Hey, check this out, y'all. You know, like I said, when I was married, I had to go in my pocket and take care of my woman. When I was pimping, I had to go in my pocket and take care of my women. When I'm tricking, I gotta go in my pocket, take care of my woman. It don't matter what position you play, nigga. If you got a broad and you fucking with her for a prolonged period of time, man, you gotta maintain the broad, man. God damn, why is it so hard? Well, let me back up, because, you know, the 80-20 rule, there's 20% of niggas out there, no doubt, that probably ain't gotta give a broad shit. You know what I mean? I see niggas like that because they are in my family. But, you know, that is the exception.
But here's not the question. What's up? How long do they fuck with those women?
Shit, man. They fuck with them for... Well, They fuck with them for a while, but they end up having to cut them loose because, like I told you before, they end up being problems.
Yep. So they can't afford to keep them.
So no, they can't afford to keep them, man.
They gotta, fuck with them, but they got to let them go.
They got to let them go.
So they can't be in a long-term relationship with them.
No.
Because it's more costly to them
to
be in a long, in terms of incarceration, in terms of threats to their lives, their safety.
Getting robbed.
Getting robbed and set up.
Yeah.
It's too expensive to keep them long term. That's why, look, I said it the podcast before last. I want you to go.
Go.
Go. Take this shit and go home.
Man.
Go home. I'm paying you to leave. Go.
Shit, man.
Because those dudes know that they can't keep those women around. Those dudes know what's going to happen if they fuck. What happens when you cross one of them bitches? Mm. They go collude with your enemy or collude with the police or both.
Right.
So they can't even afford to keep
her. Right. If she free, she's too expensive.
Yes, she's too expensive.
Well, so, basically, I'm gonna go ahead and throw Donovan Sharp's some of his excerpts in on this because man, he gave a brilliant assessment of what we were talking about just now. And once again, I want to press upon cats, man, exactly what's happening in the court system with broads getting everything they want carte blanche and a man getting kicked in the balls. This is by design. This is not an accident. You know, so when I hear Tommy and these other cats, you know, talking about, well, what the courts need to do and you the courts, y'all need to take into consideration. Look, they already know what the fuck they're doing, man. They already know what the fuck they're doing. This has come down on high from, you know, think tanks way up in a, I don't know if we'll call Bilderberg groups or, you know,
you don't have to go that groups. Far. You don't have to go that far.
No, you know, you
the
don't.
Heritage Foundation.
Right.
The Olin Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these right-wing think tanks. While and here's the hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. They'll sit here and talk about welfare, knowing damn well they benefit from welfare.
Exactly.
Their corporations benefit through the very programs that they're castigating. And that they're demonizing in the public square. Mm-hmm. They know damn well they benefit.
They get big kickbacks.
They get big kickbacks from that.
Right.
You see. So if we want to talk about the courts, let's break down what happens when you go into court so that people can. I did this before.
Okay.
But I'm going to do it again. Let's say you go. I'm going to give you two different scenarios. Okay. You go. You marry a broad, which is the biggest, the highest form of tricking. Marriage is the highest form of tricking from a dollar aspect. Now, some people are going to say, well, I get to have my seed live forever and I get to propagate. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's a benefit for marriage is the propagation and the continuation of your name. Okay. But I'm talking about from a long-term standpoint with respect to the dollar. You go, you marry this woman, shit don't work out. Right away, the law says that whatever you accumulate, even if she didn't have a job, whatever you accumulate is marital property.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she's unemployed, even though she's not working, it's automatically marital property. Okay? I had this, it's this guy from our mutual friend over there on James H. McGee.
Mm-hmm.
He was running this scam where he had this little group home. And he was able to bilk the state for, oh God, hundreds of thousands of dollars through running these group homes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he fucked up and married a stripper.
Okay.
And then he told the stripper how he was making the money and even put her in on the scam.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, she didn't stay with him long.
Mm-hmm.
And she got a divorce from him. She filed for divorce. And when she filed for divorce, everything they accumulated, his cars, his home, even though they weren't married but for 9 months.
Mm.
Everything that they accumulated, she assessed it to be, the courts assessed it to be part of her property. They looked at his income. His income was upward of about $750,000.
Right.
So that meant she had title to half of his income. Any pensions he had, automatically it belonged to her, even though they had no children and they had only been married for 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So he had to wind up selling off the cars. He had to wind up selling off the home, actually committing fraud.
Okay. 'Cause
you can't sell assets in the middle of a court proceeding. That's called fraudulent conveyance. You can't sell assets without the court's permission if you're being sued. A lawsuit or a action for divorce is a civil lawsuit. So he committed fraudulent conveyance, but he still, by selling the shit off without court order, mm-hmm. and still had to wind up giving her half of it. Get this, though. He paid her lawyer's fees. Her lawyer's fees, she didn't pay her lawyer a dime.
Right.
Her lawyer fees were about $30,000.
Damn.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Then he had to pay his lawyer fees, which was another $50,000.
Hmm.
Just to have to wind up splitting $375,000 in liquid assets.
Man. That's hardcore tricking right there.
That's hardcore tricking right there. You see what I'm saying? Dang. So, just to get rid, for her to go, it cost him nearly $500,000.
Damn, bro.
For her to go.
Okay? The niggas is looking at you, stupid, for 75.
For 75.
You motherfuckers, please.
Okay.
So,
second instance, you fuck one of these broads and you get them pregnant. Okay? They're not going to take that baby away from her, no matter how unfit of a parent she is. Even though she violates all of those 12 principles under the best interest of the child, they're just not going to take that kid away from her, short of her going to prison.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So automatically, they have a formula to determine how much you should be paying. Okay? So most niggas, of course, they're afraid of the court. So when the notices come, they don't pay that shit no attention. They put it on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't understand the clock. If she's on assistance, that clock starts running from the second that baby's born. Because what happens is you are accumulating the expenses for the child's birth. So you got medical expenses paid for by the state right off the rip.
Mm.
So from the second that child is born, you begin to go into debt. And every second that you do not assume any type of custodial, parenting or any type of custodial relationship of that child, that debt is steadily accumulating.
Mm-hmm.
It's steadily climbing. So then by the time when you, oh shit, I owe $30,000, ding, 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 let me go get custody. And the court said, no, fuck you, you're not getting custody. As a matter of fact, you're $30,000 in arrearages, and if you don't pay this, you'll be found in contempt, and an arrest warrant will be issued for you.
Mm. Okay.
You understand?
Yeah.
So you walk into that custody hearing. You walk into that family law court already in debt before you even pay for a lawyer. That's if you got the money to pay for a lawyer.
Mm. Pimps and hoes is real.
Real.
Really?
So, right out the gate, she benefits in court from that sacrosanct right of not separating the child from his mother, no matter how unfit she is. The bitch could be a heroin addict.
Mm-hmm.
The bitch could be a crack addict. Mm. And they still won't do it. The child could be born with birth defects. And they still won't do it. Mm. Birth defects due to drug addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And they still won't do it. But that guy is automatically in debt regardless of what his status is. Regardless of the situation, he is automatically in debt. And since most niggas run from the court system, since they don't confront the court system, they make the problem worse. Because they don't go in and ask for a reduction in support. They just run until the police catch them.
Mm.
So then when the police catch you, not only you have to scare up some money for them to let you go. Here's how they do it. You can't bond out on that case.
Mm-hmm.
You have to bring them some money. If you don't bring them some money, they ain't letting your black ass up out of there.
Hmm. Damn, all in the name of the pussy.
All in the name of the pussy.
Boy.
So if you have a $30,000 debt that's accumulated, they're not going to let you out. They're not going to let you. And they tell you what they will accept. You can't go down there and tell them I got 75.
Hmm.
75 what, nigga? 7,500?
Right.
No. You can't go down there and dictate to them what you're going to pay in order for you to be released. They're going to tell you what you have to pay in order to get your freedom back.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell these super niggas something, man, just to add a little something, man. Because, of course, you know, when you tell a cat that, you know, you fucks around and you will pay a bitch directly,
nigga got the nerve to kind of like look down his nose at you, man. Well, let me tell y'all something. Man. I cohabitated with a woman for 22 years, and I'm still officially married to her. And I basically left the household in 2008. And let me tell you something, man. Every broad I've ever fucked with, including this married, this my main girl, my wife, my bottom, ain't none of them bitches ever took me to court. Ain't none of them bitches went to the man on me. You know what I mean? So how is that for a beta ass nigga? Why you running around popping your collar, talking about how you this and that, and you pointing your fingers at me talking about how I ain't no real man, nigga? I'm like, I'm willing to bet there's plenty of females in your goddamn past that have took your ass to court, that have ran to the man on your ass. But guess what? Big Mike ain't got them problems, nigga.
You got a child support warrant right now.
Shit.
I bet you niggas saying they got a child support warrant right now. I bet you the nigga that's talking that shit is running from the police. They running from the state right now. You see? And the niggas that's saying that shit, them the ones that are going in their pocket the deepest, but they trying to rationalize their tricking because they don't want to be known as beta males. You see? But again, somebody... Nothing in this life is free, because if it's free, you can't afford it. And that's just what it is. Now, can some dudes in the short term talk and seduce women? Of course they can talk and seduce women. I would never say that that can't happen. But usually, how many dudes do you know that are just knocking bitches off on a serial, they're serial one-night standers? I don't know very many niggas that's just going down, like, okay, you one night. No, they fucking these bitches 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 times. Now, what's usually happening is the more they get used to these bras, just like what Pimpin' Kid said, the more you fuck on them, the more you get used to them. And when you get used to them, nigga, that's when the trap is sprung. That's when you go in your pocket. That's when you're gonna be ass to contribute. And if you don't contribute, now it's somebody else does, and somebody else has to contribute, and you still want to keep the bitch in your circle, you're still going to wind up paying. Nope, you're not going to get away by paying, by keeping a woman in your circle for a long... You're not going to get away from paying if you keep a woman in your circle for a long period of time. And I will stand by that to the day they put me in the ground. That shit don't change. That's basic, common sense. So when I hear these dudes say, I heard one dude say, he said, well, what you should do, you should concentrate on getting your paper up. You should concentrate on your goals and objectives.
Mm-hmm.
But he stopped short of saying why.
Mm-hmm.
He stopped short of saying why. And that's what all of them do. They'll sit here and talk about getting your money up. They'll sit here and talk about your goals. But they don't say why, the main reason or the main or the motive. The ulterior motive behind all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And what they won't say, and what they won't say, is that those things are attractive to women. Because if they say that, they got to come out and admit to a open trick relationship with these women, even when they're dating them or courting them or trying to get the possibility of sex. So what they try to do is narrowly disguise and say, well, that's what you got to do for yourself. Knowing that if you do that, that's going to attract women. And knowing that those women are attracted to you for, guess what? Your money.
Right.
You see. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to figure out a way to divorce money from sex. You cannot divorce money from sex. You will never divorce money from sex, because sex and money go together like the Ku Klux Klan and the fucking lynching. That's just how it works. That's just a part of the game. So you can be as intellectually dishonest, you can be as disingenuous as you please. Nothing will change. You will go in your pocket. So will I, but I got 75.
And also, understand, motherfucker, Big Mike ain't got them problems, man. Like I said, all you super niggas beating your chest, guess what? Big Mike has always had his bitches in check, man. Has always had them in pocket. And ain't that one of them ever went to the motherfucking courts or the man on me, nigga. You feel me? So, once again, we're going to go ahead and close this on out. I'm going to go ahead and give the parting words to my boy Fuchsius, because, you know, we got to, like, ask this brother, like, where is he at and what's he doing? How can folks find you, bro?
Understand that you always going to take some losses. The thing is to mitigate, reduce, or limit your losses and to capitalize on your gains. That's the name of the game. That is, forget your ego, fuck your ego, look at the objective, be practical, be reasonable. Now, I know for some of you niggas, that's an impossible task. That's a very difficult task for you to be reasonable. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, I will implore you to do so. Now, for me, you can find me at powerstrategy.com. At powerstrategy.com, sign up to become a mailing list subscriber. You can also subscribe to the YouTube channel at Power Strategy, the same name. You can also like us on Facebook at Power Strategy, the same name. There was an issue earlier with my website, but I got it cleared up. Shout out to the brother that, you know, gave me, put that little bug in my ear. I got that little niche or that little snafu cleared up. Mm-hmm. You can also catch me on Patreon at Power of Strategies. I will be uploading new content for my Patreon and for my website this week. For all my chess players, please visit my chess store at powerstrategy.com. All my prices include shipping and handling. You can also catch me every Tuesday. I drop articles for the Negro Manosphere with O'Shea Duke Jackson. And of course, you can catch me here because this is home. This is Mac City. And we will always rep Mac City. And if tricking is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Goddamn right, man. And also, if you think this shit's a joke, man, you go over to MacCity.com and look in there over 10 years worth of receipts, man. Let y'all know that this ain't no joke. I ain't playing no games. This shit is real. You know what I mean? While other niggas is just talking about it, I be about it. You feel me? So, once again, I'd like to thank all my partners, man, for coming on through, all the Mac City players and citizens, man, for supporting us and just giving us love, man. We really appreciate it, man. So, once again, it's the Fat Mac, Big Mike, Almighty Triple XL with my co-host, man, Tony Maceo, nigga, Fucius, Magneto, Zatoichi. And we out.
We out.
We out.
We out.
We out.
Charlie 見てていいんだどうほらまださ夢の続きとこ夏が秋冬そこは涼しいな幸せか落ちたコーヒーメーカーに苦くさせるこの俺の今までがならせめて安らいでよ今だけは多少は甘くなるかも時が流れりゃなんて今はないだけいる砂糖がねくだらねえが君と俺の間へ、hey.
吹いた風が机に燃えかそ散らかしてたじゃ吹いたらね起こせたほらコーヒーができた深く見れたレギュラーボールもまだ僕みんな好きで無意識にまたインスタントになるから
Surely 見てていいんだどほらまださ夢の続きどこ夏か秋冬そこは涼しいな幸せか落ちたコーヒーメーカーに苦くさせるこの俺の今までがならせめて安らいでよ今だけは多少甘くなるかも時が流れやなんて今はないだけイブサトウがねくだらねえが君と俺の間へ吹いた風が机に燃えかそ散らかしてたじゃ吹いたらね起こせたってほらコーヒーができた深く見れたレギュラーボールもまだ僕みんな好きで無意識にまたインスタントになるからあのブロボボソン恋しちゃうのコーヒー